Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and wow, have we got an afternoon for you, full of magic, full of fun, and also some wonderful recipes. So we want to be sure you have a pad of paper and a pen handy during the Donna Sebo Show, because I know you're going to want to make some notes. We have a very special guest today, and this is Michelle Davis, and we're going to be talking about a wonderful horse named Magical Mac. And so without further ado, I want to welcome you, Michelle. Thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed your story. Now, I want to let my listeners know a little bit about you. You were raised, you have such an interesting background. You were raised near an Amish community by Spencerville, Indiana, and your first riding experiences were on the back of
Linn Monikers.
Linn Monikers. Okay, thank you for correcting me. I didn't have that. Draft mares. What a way to start riding. These are awesome horses. They're huge.
Well, and when you're desperate for a horse and you see them as magical, hey, they have four hooves and a tail. What more do they need?
Well, I haven't had many people say that about horses. And you know what? I have such a passion for horses. I don't know why. I just love them. I absolutely have, ever since I can remember. And you decided, after you went to Purdue, where you got your doctorate, you wanted to team up with someone, and you began to work with children that you described as fragile, and I'll let you explain what that is after a while. And you have a record of having the oldest living horse in America.
That's right.
And that is Mac. And you have, again, you've got such an interesting perspective. Now, here you had this passion for horses from the time you were a little squirt. You were riding on these awesome draft horses, and the backs of these draft horses, I mean, I can just see that. I get a picture of you. Your legs never went over the sides. They were just sticking straight out or in the front of you. I mean, these guys have broad backs.
I don't know how I did it.
Oh, they're one of my favorites. I'm up here broadcasting from the Pacific Northwest, and we have the Puyallup Fair every year. And to see these beautiful horses, I mean, I absolutely have to go and look at them every single time, and it's just a joy to be around them. But they are massive. Now, here you had this passion. What was your doctorate in at Purdue? What was your major?
I have a PhD in Spanish, Latin American literature, theater, and Portuguese.
Wow. Now, how does that relate to horses?
Well, you know, clear through my Purdue experience, I took the phys ed class that had to do with horseback riding, because even though I really loved the Hispanic culture, I have never, ever been able to shake this incredible obsession that I have with the equine society. It has never left me, and so I was searching for a way to figure out how to keep that going. So I took the same courses over and over without telling my major professor, and when I reached the end of my tenure at Purdue, they were stunned when they looked at all my credits and found all these horseback riding credits. I kind of snuck that in, you know.
So. Wow. Now, here you have all of this wonderful language background, and you decided you were going to work with children. Now, here you have a love of horses. And I'm sure in your wildest dreams, you never, ever thought you would be doing the work that you're doing today.
Never.
But tell us how you got involved with the children.
Well, it wasn't really my choice. I did not decide that.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The old horse decided that for me.
All right, so we're going to have to back up then.
That's right.
Got to fill us in on Mac, because this is a horse. You've got to tell us how you became acquainted with Mac. How did this serendipitous happening occur?
Well, I was applying for jobs, and I ended up getting a job here in Ohio at the Ohio State University. And I started searching around for a way to keep my equine connection going. And I started taking riding lessons at a stable in Powell, Ohio, where Mac lived. He was a riding school horse. That is to say, his job was to give riding lessons. And one day, he was assigned to me. The lady in charge said, "You'll be riding Skunk today." Now, the amazing thing about this horse is he was black with a white tail, and thus his name Skunk.
Amazing.
So I went to his stall to get Skunk, and I could see that he was almost meditating. He had this quietness about him, so I stood very respectfully till he popped out of it, and then I took him out and rode him in my class. Absolutely fell in love with him. Rode him for about a year in riding lessons, and then he came up for sale.
Oh, wow.
So I said to the lady, "Why are you selling such a fabulous riding school horse?" And she said, "I'm looking for a good retirement home for him." But that blew right over top of me. You know, I didn't hear that part. I said, "Well, how old is he?" She said, "Oh, he's about 17. And in my mind, 17 was not old.
Mm-hmm.
So now, for some quarter horse people, they may think their horse is old. But I looked at that horse, and he did not look like he was old and that he needed a retirement home. But I bought him, $2,500, and he's mine, mine, all mine. And I changed his name to McDougal because I didn't think he should be named after his tail. And I called him Big Mac. Now I got him home here, and people started thundering down my driveway and saying things to me like, "I used to ride a horse that looked just like that 15 years ago in riding school, and his name was Skunk." And so many people did that I started getting very nervous. Because by totaling that up, he was not 17, he was more like 30.
Oh, my.
Now, most horses don't make it to 20, and here I'd paid $2,500 for a horse that should have been underground for 10 years or better. So I heard of a vet in the area who claimed he could tell how old a horse was, and to make a long story short, I had indeed bought a 30-some-year-old horse.
Oh, my.
But the vet said, "Keep him. He's a keeper. He looks like he's in good shape." So, bottom line is, I retired him from jumping in dressage due to his age and started riding him in parades and doing other things with him. And some people in Marysville, a nearby town, called and said they had an autistic child and they wanted him to be around a safe horse. And they heard I had one. Could they bring him out? I said, sure. And as it happened, this child was comatose. He had never moved on his own, never spoken.
Oh,
We picked him up, laid him flat on the horse. And the horse went into this meditation state like I'd seen a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the child started gurgling and trying to move his fingers. Well, I thought the horse was maybe having a stroke, and I was all upset. But the people were freaking out because their child was trying to move of his own accord and was trying to talk. And to make a long story short, Old Mac, as I started calling him, not Big Mac, but Old Mac, was what the Native American Indians called a medicine horse. He would change things about children. He would somehow enhance them. And over time, this child became almost normal. And when you've had a child who is ruled by the medical community to be helpless and worthless and live with it, and you take him out and plop him on an old horse in York Center, Ohio, and he changes before your very eyes, what do you do? You tell your 7,000 best friends. And suddenly all these autistic children were thundering down my driveway, and the old horse was busy every weekend. And these children would change. You know, Reader's Digest tracked us, and they wrote an article in August of 1998 entitled "Some Sort of Magic." And they followed some of the worst cases I'd ever had, and the old horse would change them. I mean, he loved these fragile children. So this was not my choice. The old horse forced me into it.
Amazing.
Yes, and he went on and on like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he was 30, and then he was 40, and then he was 50. And he had a very high quality life, you know. And the funny thing is, the lady that thought she had cheated me years ago ran into me at a horse show one day and said, "You still got that old horse I sold you?" At that point, she admitted he was indeed old. But, you know, I got the best end of the bargain, because this old horse was truly in tune with the universe, and he was making the world a better place, child by child.
Oh, my word. Now, my guest today is Michelle Davis. We're talking about a very, very special horse, Magical Mac, the true story of a healing horse, and there is a book that she has. That is its exact title, Magical Mac, the true story of a healing horse. It's a wonderful story for children. And we're going to be taking a break in about a minute. And, of course, after that, then we'll be coming back with some more wonderful, wonderful things. But I want you to know that when I looked at Michelle's book, I heard about it somewhere, and then I was sent the information. And I thought, there's so many of us whose lives are touched so deeply by animals. I know mine has been. And there are so many dedicated people like Michelle that are finding that they can make a difference about working with children, working with animals, increasing wellness and communication and compassion and understanding. And just because an animal's older doesn't mean it doesn't have a value. Michelle Davis is my guest. Magical Mac, the true story of a healing horse. Now, when we come back, we're going to find out more about Magical Mac. We'll share a little bit from the book. And also, she has got some stables that we'll give you information on, some retreats that they do. We're just going to find out so many wonderful things. If you want to know more about a medicine horse, you don't want to do anything else but just stay right with us during this program, because you're going to want to hear the rest of the story. This is Donna Siebel. My guest again is Michelle S. Davis. Her wonderful book, Magical Mac. We'll be right back. Don't you go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. We're talking about Magical Mac, the true story of a healing horse. My guest is Michelle S. Davis. Now, you heard Michelle, if you were listening to the first part of the show, you were listening to her and you were hearing this wonderful story about this horse that was supposed to be just 17 years old that ended up being over 30, and he has this phenomenal capability of healing. Now, when we were on break, I was asking Michelle, when did he pass away? Because I know Magical Mac is no longer with us. And Michelle, when did Magical Mac pass away?
Mac passed to the higher side in late August of 1998.
Now, I'm going to read you just a little bit out of the book here. This book is fabulous for children, absolutely fabulous for children. And I'm just going to start off. McDougal, Mac for short, always had a reputation for honesty. Before his arrival at Serendipity Stables in York Center, Ohio, Mac was a school horse. He was known as a good babysitter because the youngest, most inexperienced child would receive the best possible riding lesson from this dependable old gelding. And this is the story of Mac, a great horse, not just any old hack. You'll hear it told that he valued like gold all young children who sat on his back. Old McDougal was his name, and bright healing grew his fame. He did it with great pride, taking all in stride, for Mac's caring touch, children came. You know, when you hear stories of the way that animals affect children that supposedly everybody's given up on, they don't have a chance of responding, their brains don't work. I mean, it's amazing the judgments that we'll make with kids because we don't understand what's going on with them. And you related the story about the youngster that was just laid on Mac's back. He goes into this meditation, and the child is doing things. You're concerned because you think something's going wrong. The parents are ecstatic. Tell us another story about another child that was affected.
One of the most phenomenal is Jessica. Jessica was about 4 years old when her parents brought her out here, and she had no connection with reality whatsoever. She would run in circles. Her eyes rolled back in her head. She would shriek and beat at herself. And there was no way to connect with her, no way to communicate with her. And I said to her parents, just grab her up, let's take her out to the barn, we're going to set her on this old horse. And they, of course, were desperate for any kind of help, so they took her out to the barn, kicking and screaming, plopped her on old Mac's back, and now this horse was 17 hands high. He was just a huge horse, and this little bitty four-year-old is now sitting on him. She got incredibly quiet. Now, she had never spoken.
Mm-hmm.
She looked around, and she said, as clear as a bell, "What's that?" She could feel whatever the horse was doing, the energy connection, the bonding. She felt it, and she said, "What's that?" Her parents started crying. I was in shock. And the child was just as calm as any child you would ever hope to see. So she sat up there for about 20 minutes, and the parents took her home. And she got so much better through the week, they called and said, "Can we bring her back?" I said, "Sure." They brought her back that second time, sat her up on that old horse again, and she began to sing. She sang that ABC song that children learn in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it just dissolved us. It was just astounding. Well, to make a long story short, I saw her and her mother at the Tractor Supply in Marysville, Ohio, the other day, and she's a bright, shiny teenager going to school. You would never know that she started life as a crazed, supposedly autistic child with no future. She's fine.
There are so many things we don't understand. And here is this medicine horse. I love that description. And all you did was take this child and put it up on his back. He didn't move. He just did his thing.
That's it.
His meditation thing. And that child heard it.
That's it. I tell people, horses do their best work standing still. I mean, riding them is wonderful, and I'm the first one to say that. But these who have healing capacity when they're standing still is when they pack a wallop.
Now, there was something very special about Matt.
Yes.
Not only did he live to be quite elderly in certain age terms, he was a medicine horse. He knew what he was doing, and he was very aware. You were aware. But he was exceptional in that he taught other horses to do what he did. Now, this, when I read this in your book, astonished me. How did Mac do this, and how did he choose the ones that he was going to pass his knowledge to?
Well, it was very interesting. When he was 46, he was formally declared the oldest living horse. And I never really thought of him as having an end point in time, because to me he was just old Mac, and he just went on and on.
Mm-hmm.
When he was formally declared the oldest living horse, I got nervous, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, he can't keep on forever. What will happen to these children when he steps to the higher side?
Mm-hmm.
And one day an animal communicator came out to see me, and she said, "You have an old horse who's a healer." I said, "Yes." "Well," she said, "he's taught the little white one how to do it. Start using her." So he picked one of the youngest horses in the barn and trained her. She was 6 years old at the time. She is still working with us. She is the Dowager Queen, we call her. Sari, for whom the barn is named,
mm-hmm.
is now our lead medicine horse. She is now 23 years old.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And this last Sunday we had an open house, and she worked on about 10 children, and her power was so immense that all the adults standing in the barn felt it too. So he picked a young horse. Remember, he started his healing career in his mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
She started hers at age 6, and Mac was fabulous, and she is more so because she started younger, and she's been working at it a very long time, at this point longer than he.
And she's just beautiful. I mean, I've got a picture of her right in front of me. Now, what about Yankee?
Yankee was an Amish horse whom I liberated from his situation. And Mac, I watched Mac download his information to Yankee. I mean, Mac stood head-to-head with this former buggy horse, and I saw the information pass from one horse to another. It was really astounding.
Amazing.
Unfortunately, Yankee passed to the higher side. We had a tornado out here 3 years ago that totally wiped us out and unfortunately took out some of our best healers. But he was one of them. But I went searching for Sari's relatives because she is so amazing at what she does, and I found that her grandmother was raised by the Nez Perce Indians. She's a tricolored leopard Appaloosa, that is to say white with three different colored spots,
mm-hmm.
black, brown, and red. So out here now, the healing crew are quite young comparatively. We have Charm, Molly, Patches, Mystique, and Sweet Adeline, and they are all Sari's nieces and nephew. She trained them. And so we have a fabulous core of medicine horses, and every one of them committed to enhancing the lives of those children who otherwise might not have a chance.
This is incredible. Well, I know we're almost out of time. And for those of you who are listening, I hope that you will write down, if you know of any children at all that love animals, this is a wonderful book to read, but more than anything else, the story about Michelle, her staff, Serendipity Stables. Now, if they want to reach you, what is your website?
Okay, the website's in the back of the book. It's www.magicalmac.com. And then they can always feel free to call me, or they can call my co-author, Alexandra Makris. I take private appointments for families on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. The second Sunday of each month, we have a free open house where anyone can come free of charge and interact with the horses. We have been incorporated as a not-for-profit organization, so anyone, I don't charge. I accept donations, and any donations can be taken from your taxes. We also give animal communication workshops the second Saturday of each month, or if a group wants to ship us somewhere, we will go, Alexandra and I, because a few years ago I began hearing the horses talk to me, which is another phase of this, because sometimes we think we know what's going on with our children and we don't,
mm-hmm.
and the horses set us straight. So we have a lot going on, but our purpose is to enhance the lives of those children who need a chance.
Well, Michelle, this has been wonderful. We are out of time. Magical Mac, the true story of a healing horse, a medicine horse. This is real. This is not make-believe. It's not imagination. It is to the heart, and it is something I know you would love to share with your children. And if you love to communicate with animals, this is also a must-know about. So go to www.magicalmac.com. And if you want to call her directly, 937-358-2190. Michelle, thank you so much for being my guest.
Anytime.
It's a pleasure.
Thank
Donna
you.
Donna Sebo here. We are going to be taking a break. And when we come back, telephone lines will be open. Don't you go away now. I've got some more good things for you. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, Donna Sebo here, an hour of mind power. I wanted to share a thought with you that I really, really like. I think that having positive thoughts are so important. Every day we're bombarded with what we are informed is the good, the bad, the ugly, the negative, and by the time we get through with being bombarded, we can feel either like a pummeled piece of biscuit, or we're going to say, wait a minute, that's not where I choose to put my head. I'm going to do some different kind of thinking. And there is an author, nobody knows who wrote this, that made a statement I really liked because it makes a difference. And you need to keep this in mind regarding yourself, because it's how you think about yourself that makes a difference. Who you are is what you design yourself to be. And this unknown author said, indifference never wrote great works, nor thought out striking inventions, nor reared the solemn architecture that awes the soul, nor breathed sublime music, nor painted glorious pictures, nor undertook heroic philanthropies. All these grandeurs are born of enthusiasm and are done heartily. And I think that that is so important for us to hold into our minds and our hearts. Maybe you've got a dream somewhere and people have just stomped all over it with their muddy boots of disbelief, negative, you're not intelligent enough, you don't have enough education, or so-and-so went broke, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, there are going to be failures in life. It would be absolute stupidity for me to say that that's not going to be the case. If you will remember, however, if you will remember that you're in charge of your mind and your personal space. You may not be able to control things that are outside of your own personal space, but you can control how you think and how you respond. You're the boss, totally there. It'll make a difference. Now, the last sentence, all of these grandeurs, philanthropies, architecture, inventions, you name it, according to this author, are born of enthusiasm and are done heartily. Let me share a story with you. And this is a true story, by the way. This is a true story. It was sent to me by Betty. And by the way, should you have a special story you'd like to share with me, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. DelphiInternational.com. I love hearing from you. If you got a special recipe, send me an email. I'd love it. Or you can call me at my office and I'll give you my number later on. Now, this is a very interesting story, because it is true. There was a woman in a faded gingham dress, and her husband, who was dressed in a homespun threadbare suit, well, they stepped off a train in Boston and walked very timidly, without an appointment, into the Harvard University president's outer office. And now, the secretary could tell in a moment that such backwoods country hicks had no business at Harvard and probably didn't even deserve to be in Cambridge. She frowned at them, and the gentleman very quietly said, "We want to see the president." And he had a very soft voice, while the secretary came back with her very, very efficient demeanor, saying, "He'll be busy all day." And the lady with him responded quietly, "We'll wait." Well, for hours, the secretary ignored them, and they patiently sat in the chairs in the waiting room, and the secretary kept thinking, "I wish these people would just give up. Why don't they go home? They don't have an appointment. They didn't even give us the courtesy of calling in for an appointment." Well, this couple didn't leave. The secretary grew very frustrated and finally decided to disturb the president, even though it was a chore she usually regretted whenever she did something like this. But she said to him very anxiously, "Maybe if they just see you for a few minutes, they'll leave." Oh, he was so busy. He just sighed. He was exasperated and said, "Okay, let them come on in." Well, someone of his importance obviously didn't have time to spend with these two very humble people. But more than anything, this man had an attitude. He detested gingham dresses and homespun suits cluttering up his outer office. After all, he was the president of Harvard. And the president, when the couple was escorted into his office, was very stern-faced and put on his most dignified presence. And he walked towards the couple, and the lady smiled at him and said, "We had a son who attended Harvard for 1 year. He loved Harvard. He was so happy here. But about a year ago, he was accidentally killed. And my husband and I would like to erect a memorial to him somewhere on the campus." The president of Harvard was not touched at all. In fact, he was shocked. And this was his response. "Madam," he said gruffly, "we can't put up a statue for every person who attended Harvard and died. If we did, this place would look like a cemetery." "Oh, no," the lady explained quickly. "We don't want to erect a statue. We thought we would like to give a building to Harvard." The president rolled his eyes. These were obviously very, very stupid people. He glanced at the gingham dress the woman was wearing and the homespun suit that her husband was wearing and exclaimed, "A building? Do you have any earthly idea how much a building costs? We have over $7.5 million in the physical plant at Harvard alone." And the lady was very quiet, and she looked at him, and she looked at her husband. The president was very pleased with himself. He could get rid of these two very, very nondescript people right now. And the lady quietly turned to her husband and said, "Is that all it costs to start a university? Why don't we just start one of our own?" Her husband just nodded, didn't say a word. Well, the president of Harvard was stunned. He didn't know how to respond to this. And his face began to look very confused, and he was bewildered. Without saying another word to the president of Harvard, Mr. and Mrs. Leland Stanford walked away, traveling to Palo Alto, California, where they established the university that now bears their name, a memorial to their son that Harvard no longer cared about. And there's a lesson here, and Malcolm Forbes is the gentleman that shared this story. And Malcolm Forbes said when he found out about this story, "You can easily judge the character of others by how they treat those who can do nothing for them or to them. Don't go by appearances. You never know." And I'm sure that president at Harvard was very unhappy with what he had done. There is so much to be said about taking time to listen and being caring and being willing to really hear what somebody has to say. Here were two people that were worth millions. Did they dress simply? Who cares? They wanted to do something for their son. And here was a man that was so concerned about his position and how poorly they looked in his offices that he couldn't even hear the words that they said. If he had listened more carefully, without his arrogance, Harvard might have had quite a phenomenal facility. As it turned out, Stanford University exists today because of the arrogance of one person. Donna Sebo here, and I want to say, you know, you can call in and chat with me if you'd be delighted to do that. I would be happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And I will be more than happy to give you my intuitive perceptions, and you're welcome to ask a question about anything or anyone that you like. And again, this is a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. And should you want to contact me directly, before or after the show at any time, I have a toll-free number as well, and that's 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Now, if you have food allergies, are you someone that's sensitive to wheat? I've got a pancake recipe that I know you'll absolutely love. And if you want something that's going to be tasty for your family, it will just be absolutely wonderful, and they're not even going to be aware that they're having something that is wheat free, and it'll be absolutely delicious. So have that pad of paper and pen handy, because when we come back from break, you're going to want to write this all down. Donna Sebo here. Oh, and don't forget, these shows are archived on bbsradio.com, where for your listening pleasure, you can tune in at any time and play the shows as often as you like. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and as I promised, I'm going to be giving you a recipe for some apple pancakes. And this is an allergy-free, gluten-free recipe. And Sabelle Pascal is the woman that gave this information to me. And I have found that wheat products for me are not a good thing for me to have in my diet. And so little by little, I've been trying to eliminate wheat. But if you're like me and you like pancakes and you like waffles and you go, oh, I want something that tastes good and I just don't have it. I mean, I really like my fluffy pancakes and my crisp, deliciously flavorful waffles. And I do. Sunday mornings are just favorite times for me and my husband. They have this wonderfully delicious breakfast that I'll fix. And but you know what? You can make substitutions. And when Sabelle shared this recipe with me, I thought, I've got to share it with you. Now, this is for apple pancakes. But you can make banana, blueberry. You can have them plain. You can add stuff to this. But this is the recipe for the apple pancakes. So here we go. You're going to need 2 small apples. You need 1.5 cups of spelt flour, and that's spelled S-P-E-L-T. Now, if you can have regular wheat flour, you can use regular wheat flour. But if you cannot eat wheat, if you're not supposed to have wheat flour, then you can substitute 1.5 cups of oat flour. And let me give you a tip with the oat flour. If you have rolled oats in your cupboard, just put them in your Cuisinart and zap it with a steel blade, and you've got your oat flour. No big deal. You don't have to go out and buy a special package where you pay $5 a pound for this. So just use your Cuisinart, or if you have a grinder, just make sure you do that. Use grinder. Or you could even try rice flour with this. Now, remember, these other flours do not have the gluten, so you may need to use something like Aramis, or, you know, just some other things that are going to be a substitute for gluten. And there are these healthy substitutes. You can find out. Check at your local health food store. And now, what I said, that was 1.5 cups of oat flour, if you cannot have wheat or spelt. 1/2 a cup of barley flour. The same thing with the barley. Just get the barley, put it in the grinder. Boom, you got your barley flour. Or you can buy it already ground. And then you're going to need 3 teaspoons of baking powder. 3 teaspoons of baking powder. 1/2 a teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/2 a teaspoon of kosher salt. Regular salt will do too, but kosher is very good. 1/2 a teaspoon of cinnamon. 1/2 a teaspoon of cinnamon. 1 3/4 cups of enriched rice or oat milk. And if you don't have milk allergies, you could use regular milk, whatever you prefer. And it needs to be slightly warm, so nuke it maybe in the microwave for about 30 seconds. Just warm it. You're going to need 2 teaspoons of honey. 2 teaspoons of honey, 2 teaspoons of oil, and you can use safflower oil, you can use a vegetable oil. I like to use olive oil. That's our favorite. And then you need 3 teaspoons of energy egg replacer. This is what she used, because there are people that have egg allergies. Well, if you don't have the egg allergies, then just go ahead and use an egg. That's right, just toss an egg in there. And then you want to have that mix, that egg mixed with 4 tablespoons of enriched rice or oat milk or regular milk, whatever it is. You need 3 teaspoons of the energy egg replacer mixed with 4 tablespoons of enriched rice or oat milk. Now remember, you can just use a regular egg, or maybe even 2. You can just toss in there. Now, this is what the recipe calls for. You need to peel, core, and chop your apples. You blend your flours, your baking powder, your salt, and cinnamon in a large bowl. All of your dry ingredients, your flour, baking powder, salt, and cinnamon in a large bowl. And you combine your warm rice oat milk with the honey and safflower oil. Now, remember, you have 1 3/4 cups of that milk. And so you mix all of that together, and then you add it to your dry ingredients, and you mix it briefly until it's blended but not lumpy. I like to use a real big spatula when I do this because it makes the blending so much easier. You don't want to whip it or anything like that. You just want to gently blend it until it's lumpy but it's mixed. And then you add your apples in at the last minute. And of course, all you do is cook your pancakes on a medium-hot griddle, and when the bubbles appear and they've just popped around the outer edges, then all you have to do is flip the pancakes. Oh, they're so good. And you know what? If you use oat flour, it has this deliciously nutty flavor to it that is incredibly good. And you've got fiber in it as well, and your kids are just going to love it. And if you want banana pancakes instead of the apple, add 2 sliced bananas instead of the apples. For blueberry, substitute a cup of fresh or frozen blueberries for the apples. And you may want to take the cinnamon out. I like to add vanilla. Personally, I like cinnamon with blueberries. Some people don't. So it depends on your taste buds. But I will tell you, vanilla enhances every single recipe just about that it's put into. Sweet or not sweet, there's something with the magic of vanilla. Not only does it smell good, but it just adds and enhances flavors beautifully. And if you don't want any fruit in it at all, you can do that. And we have to Sabel Pascal to thank for that wonderful recipe. And, oh, it is so good. And I've got a wonderful waffle recipe I'll have to share with you sometime that I will fix on Sunday mornings. And they're so light and they're so delicious. And if you've got a wheat allergy, there's many ways that you can bring foods into your diet that are going to make what you have deliciously flavorful, and it doesn't have to cost you a fortune. But again, it's sort of that educational process. I know I've been going through it, and I just encourage you to be aware of that, because you can have wonderfully delicious foods. And if you find there's some things you just need not to have, then okay, you can switch. There's enough food in this world where you can make adjustments and substitutions, and you know what? You might even be able to serve it to company, and they wouldn't know any different. And they would just love it and say, ooh, I want your recipe. Then you'll be able to share it with them. Let me let you know about the people that are coming up this week. Tomorrow, we have Milo Sindahl. We're going to be talking about what you do when you first get a job. And his book is titled Sink or Swim. Rather a dramatic title, but a lot of people lose their jobs within a very short period of time after they start work. But we're going to tell you how you can go to work and really look forward to working and know that you're going to have a place within the company and really be able to do things well. Then we're going to be talking with Gina Grip, and we're going to be talking about baking with Splenda. Now, this is a product that many people have used, and the woman who is behind this cookbook lost over 100 pounds. Even though she had a sweet tooth, she lost over 100 pounds. And these are recipes, family recipes that she adapted, which I know you'll enjoy. Then we're going to be having Carol Frank this week, and I love the title of her book, Do As I Say, Not As I Did. Now, Carol interviewed a number of people who are professionals, have successful businesses, and she got from them their stories of their literal business experiences in hell, so to speak, on so many different levels, and you're not going to want to miss this. She has got some real dynamic stories, and each one of these stories in her book are meant to educate you. And then next week, we're going to be talking about the only elephant sanctuary in these United States. Carol Buckley is a woman that had a dream and had a vision, and her sanctuary is incredible. They've done a television special on her, and I'm just so delighted she's going to be on the air with me. If you've got children that are going to be looking to get sports scholarships, you're not going to want to miss Dion Wheeler, because he is knowledgeable and his book on sports scholarships is a must-have. Believe me, a friend of mine, their daughter's going to be going for a sports scholarship in New York, and she wouldn't have gotten it without good information. Investing in nanotechnology, referrals, how you can make them work for you, smart sourcing, and also boxing. Ah, yes, on the Donna Sebo Show, you have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but it's all good stuff. We have a purpose here with this show, to be able to bring information to you and make you aware of all of the wonderful things that we possibly can that are going on in the world, whether it's science, whether it is business, a good recipe, inspiration, doesn't make any difference. We want to bring it to you, and we're so glad that you're able to listen and to have an opportunity to tune in. Be sure and tell your friends about it, too. Now, I know we're almost out of time, but I wanted to share with you quickly before we close out the show. Story about a young man. Brian Bataclan is a young artist, and he said when he moved from Ohio to Boston in the middle 90s, he was so sad because he saw so many people frowning, and he was an artist. And what he began to do was create whimsical paintings and put them on bags, like your grocery bags. He did that, and he'd leave them on park benches around Boston, and there was a note affixed to each one of them saying, "This painting is yours if you promise to smile at random people more often." That's all he did. Well, do you know what? All of his paintings were snatched up, and when he had his first art show, all of his paintings sold out, and they've been high ever since. He said, "I had a woman come all the way from Greece to see me. She found a painting during a trip to Boston, and she wanted another one. She found it on her first day of chemotherapy." His passion is art. What's your passion? What's your passion? Remember, you need to let people know what you do and that you love to do it. It makes a difference. It really does. And whatever you do, don't give up on that dream. Don't give up on that dream. Donna Sebo here. My goodness, we are out of time. It's been absolutely wonderful sharing this hour with you. I want you to remember you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have got greatness inside of you that wants to stand up and deliver. Won't you give it an opportunity? So read a good book. Smile at a perfect stranger. Give your best today. That's what's going to make a difference. Don't think the universe doesn't hear. It does. It's been a delight to be with you. Have a magnificent day, and we'll be with you tomorrow, learning how to sink or swim. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.